Compliance is a profession where people work tirelessly to make the world a better place. And there are hundreds of amazing and inspiring women who have helped the field develop into what it is today. Great Women in Compliance is part of the Compliance Podcast Network as they talk with women in compliance who are making a difference.
Hello, everyone. This is Sarah Haddon with Corporate Compliance Insights, and I'm here today with the Great Women in Compliance podcast. And I want to welcome today our usual hosts. We have Lisa Fine, Hema Lomax, and Ellen Hunt. The three of them will be known for the rest of this episode as the Cool Kids, because the Cool Kids are at Compliance Week this week, Compliance Week National in Washington, D.C. I, however, am not and have a serious case of FOMO. I've been really enjoying all the posts on LinkedIn about all the fabulous sessions. It's clear that so much learning is going on, fantastic speakers, exciting topics, and wonderful connections. There's always so much networking and community building that takes place at this, isn't there? My guests here are nodding their heads. We wanted to get together and share with listeners, about the fantastic conference that this has been so far. So let's just jump right in and talk about what have the highlights been so far. Ellen, why don't you start us off?
Sure. It's hard to choose because there's been so many. I have to say that I think the Women in Compliance brunch was a great kickoff. It was a wonderful panel, and we really talked about not only getting women on boards, but getting compliance professionals on boards, and had a brief conversation about why me and turned that around to why not you, and talked about you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And really encouraged and empowered everyone in the room to think about themselves as the next potential candidate for whatever board might be a good fit for them. Sarah, you mentioned community, and I've been giving a lot of thought about that because I think we talk about networking, and it's a term that doesn't really fit anymore. And here it's about building community. People are making connections that I might be lifelong and even exceed their careers. And you can just see the laughter and the friendship and those relationships developing. So I think that's a true highlight. Hema, what did you think?
Oh, look, firstly, I'm just so happy to be here and be one of the cool kids. Thank you for saying that. And if you were a really cool kid, you did get to attend the women's brunch on the first day and also one of the workshops. So just talking about the networking piece you made, and it's so insightful. I noticed through that session that networking is everywhere. It doesn't have to be a dirty thing. Somebody mentioned, I think it might have been you, Lisa, actually, going to the dog park and making connections and just speaking to people that might have common interests with you. And you may just find the person that introduced you to your next board seat right there in the dog park. So I was thinking of getting myself a puppy and maybe going to some more dog parks. But the other highlight really for me was the workshops on the first day. So if you came on day one, you were able to select a workshop. And I went to our dear friend Mary Shirley's workshop on living your best compliance life, a workshop for rising stars. Now, with a title like that, you can't be, you know, you couldn't miss that. But what was really the highlight for me, and this goes to your point, Ellen, about community, was we had some great hacks for our compliance program talked about by Mary, but the discussion just took on a life of its own. And I saw the community really spring into action. People shared their concerns, things that we wouldn't necessarily share with their employers or with their colleagues, they shared in these rooms. And the room just came alive with peer mentoring and peer coaching and advice for each other. And it was such a special place because it wasn't in the title of the workshop. It wasn't on the agenda. But Compliance Week makes this space for us where we can just share our experiences, our insecurities, our fears, our best ideas for living your best compliance life. So for me, that was very special. And it occurred to me, I was saying this to Lisa and Ellen earlier, that GWIC provides that space as well. And I think I took away from us that we really need to continue to create that space for our colleagues in the industry to share those non-agenda style items, because that's just as important as the substantive knowledge. So really a highlight for me. Thanks for asking. What about you, Lisa?
Of course, we are all going to talk about the women's brunch. And I was so fortunate to moderate. And Ellen was one of the panelists. And first of all, I was having that moment of awe being on the stage with them even before we started. And then listening, I really felt like I was up there trying to actually make sure it went smoothly, but was like, I wish I could take notes. And that was it was a great feeling. And to look at that and that room, I also want to say there were a lot of men, there was real diversity, and there was diversity at the conference. And that to me showed me a lot of really, again, we keep talking about community as opposed to some of the other panels, but I saw a lot of that in the conversations we had. And I also saw how things are generational and people taking things to a different level and seeing things and really building on lessons learned and how, you know, we do things. And then seeing some people really starting to embrace this, to pass the torch and to do things. And the space was great. And the last thing that I really was impressed about is I had this moment at the conference of realization. The fact that we were all there trying to do what we're doing shows how companies in some ways are really trying to do the right thing. And now for all the times that we have challenges or issues or other things, I thought that was really special too, to think about, wait, you know, everyone is struggling, but they're struggling because they're coming from, many of them, from most people I talk to, from such a positive intent. And I forget that sometimes in my day-to-day world.
What a beautiful reminder of why we're all here, being compliance adjacent or being in compliance, why we are here doing this important work. Hema, I have to say, I admire your commitment, the very notion that you would get a puppy just so you might do some community building at the dog park. That's beautiful. Okay. Hema, you also said that you didn't expect to have that level of openness and candor and just spontaneous sharing. What expectations maybe did you have for the conference going in?
And I certainly expected to come and learn and benchmark and get years worth of insights in a couple of days from my peers, from our mentors, from the speakers, from the agenda. And certainly that didn't disappoint. It was, again, another comment I made was I could spend a lot of money on various subscriptions and various vendors and various tools and advice, but there's no substitute for what you can get right here with people trying to do the same thing. I thought about the Instagram phenomenon where you think that everyone else's program is perfect. But really a lot of this week was people sharing where they maybe have failed and had learned and regrouped and tried again, or where they were on their journeys. And it just was really humbling and made me feel part of a community and really gave me some practical tips and confidence to go back to my program and try a new thing or continue doing something that's become difficult, knowing I'm not the only one and I've got 1,000 mentors willing to take a call. I did expect to have community, but I always am surprised by the depth of and the quality of the community when you actually get here. You think you're just going to have some hugs and some smiles, but boy, it's much more than that. And I'm so grateful.
To come away with confidence, with energy, that's amazing. Ellen, what about you?
On the same theme, I attended a session where they were talking about really building a program from scratch. But one of the questions that I just thought was phenomenal was, tell us about a time that something went wrong. And it's hard to talk about your failures, and it's hard to do that certainly in a public space, but it's so valuable for us to all know we all have them. You're not going to do everything perfectly all the time. And then the other side of that is, what did you learn from it? And so I just thought that candor, where people could be asked that question and share that with 50 or 60 of their new friends in the room, was remarkable. And it was really wonderful listening to people's stories of some of the things that they just didn't take into account. Doing training in August in a European city when everybody's on vacation, trying to get everybody trained in 30 days when what you have are people who are on a production floor. It's just not enough time. And those kind of tips are going to save somebody else from the same mistake. And I think sometimes we need to talk a little bit more about what we didn't do so that we learn more about how we can do it better and save some others from those mistakes as well.
Mistakes were made. Yes, that really is where the true learning takes place, isn't it? I love to think that it felt like such a safe space that so many people could speak so candidly that way.
Yeah, it was really wonderful. It was really wonderful. And the audience embraced that because I think they felt with one with the panel, right? Because
we're all in this together.
We are.
We're all human.
Yeah. And who doesn't make a mistake every once in a while? We all do.
We all do. Whether or not we own up to it, we all do.
Yeah.
Lisa, what expectations did you bring with you?
Obviously, some of the similar ones. I also had I always have a couple substantive areas that I want to at least listen and learn and pay attention more. Usually my biggest challenge now is to try to go to things that I am not as comfortable in so that I can be more comfortable with the discourse and try to do that. Two of the things like that. One, Emma was Emma's panel talking about risk assessments, which was fantastic. One of the challenges there too, though, is everyone has such different organizations and trying to think about what works and how does it work. On the one hand, you talk about vulnerability, it's daunting. But on the other hand, you walk out and learn enough and reminded that it's a journey. The other one just for me that I find so interesting always, which is because a lot of my work is talking about WhatsApp, bring your own devices, things like that. From a substantive standpoint, those were things that I wanted to feel like I was keeping up to date a little bit on. And I felt like I got that was achieved. Now, to be fair, that was really secondarily to some of the other experiences that we all keep going back to. And one point to go back to this podcast and what you were saying about people opening up is I had a couple of different people, younger women particularly, who said that the podcast and people speaking here were genuine because we will talk about things that aren't perfect. And that is what helps them feel more comfortable building these careers sometimes, which I just thought was a lovely, it's like when I have a hard day, I know that some of these people, and we all look up to you, think that. I just thought that was so lovely.
Showing up as humans. Wow. So when you attend these sessions, I know you must do this. I always do this. You take notes. Maybe you doodle in the margins of something, or you brought your little notebook with you. And you wrote down one thing that you're going to put on a post-it note on your desktop or something that you took home and journaled about and really internalized. What was that one thing that's still running through your head that you are taking with you? Emma?
Oh, yeah, I have it.
I can tell.
It was on a panel this morning from Nick Gallo and Ellen that they put on. And they were talking about meaningful ways to convey the compliance department's value. And we've all heard the term ROI. I was thinking, yep, return on investment. Oh, no. They were talking about a return on integrity. Ooh, my.
Ooh, that's good.
Not just that. He talked about ROI, return on integrity coaches. Huh. Speaking my love language. So, yes, the one thing, I didn't need notepaper. I'm never going to forget that. I will use it 3 times and make it my own. I will try to remember to give them credit, but if I don't, forgive me that, because I will be using that daily. And I just want to say, I'm not just trying to be cheesy, that's what happens. We are in a communications, marketing, sales function in many ways, and we need to be able to very precisely and concisely influence and persuade. And so I'm looking for those talking points, those talking tracks. And boy, again, did they deliver. Return on integrity and coaching, being an ROI coach. You're going to hear me talking about that probably in the podcast a lot. So yeah, that was my one big takeaway. There were many more, but that was one that I'm not going to forget.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how you build on that. Ellen, what about you?
So mine isn't really in a soundbite, but I actually have two. One is just throughout all of the sessions, I think is the constant theme of reaching out to and being part of the business and understanding it. If you can't talk their language, if they don't understand who you are and what you do and the value you bring, that's a failure on you, right? It's really your responsibility to build those relationships and gain that knowledge and understand it. And then another takeaway for me is based on a conversation I had before the conference started, but I'm a little distressed on, we always talk about compliance and we forget ethics. And when we think about the value of what this profession brings, I think a lot of it is in the ethics piece. And the federal sensing guidelines were amended to add the word ethics. All of our programs should be ethics and compliance programs. And when I really think of the profession and the people who are in it and their roles, it really is about advising the organization and the people in it to make ethical business decisions. And so I would just say to all of us here and all of our listeners, don't forget the ethics piece.
The hard to measure, but so important piece.
Exactly.
Lisa, what about you? What's on your post-it note?
I want to follow along with something that Ellen just said that wasn't necessarily on my post-it note before she was speaking, but is part of my like life post-it note about these things. And one of my objectives too is that I feel like the basis of a strong compliance program is empowering the ethical decision-making, because people are much more likely to be compliant when they feel that the company thinks they're good people to begin with, and B, they're trying to do the right thing. And I guess C would be the company is supporting them doing tough things that are right. And I feel like even though we'd say compliance, that's such a huge part of it all the time. So I think you just crystallized that to me a little bit more than I had a couple minutes ago. I took away a very good appreciation and a different appreciation of my internal audit function and our employee relations team, because we've been collaborating on different things. And frankly, that's part of hearing what about from other people's challenges to realize how grateful I am and how much of a tool that can be for an ethics and compliance person. Kudos to them and for that too, for coming up and raising things at the right time and doing things. And I think I forget sometimes how special that is. And so it's lovely to think about. I'm sure our internal audit rarely gets to hear, it's lovely to think about you, but that really did hit me. I guess this week, as you can tell, I feel very lucky with the people in my professional life at work and in this community. Wow, we're blessed.
All three of you are glowing. You have all of this positive energy. I can just tell. But I know that you're going to take it back to your organizations and unpack it and repackage it and do wonderful things with it. And we will on the podcast as well. I know that these lessons, they become part of us and part of our fabric, and they change the way we think and the way we relate to one another and to our guests. And I'm really excited to see what kinds of topics we'll be tackling in the coming year based on the exciting things that you learned this week. Lisa, why don't you tell our listeners what's coming up?
First of all, before I even say that to all of our listeners, that we always love feedback, ideas, and guests. So what's coming up is never going to be, you know, what did they say about the TV shows? Canon. So, I mean, we have some, you know, great, I guess it's when you're talking about like the comic book universes. Tom Fox would be happy to know I said that. Is it real or is it something they've rewritten? So we're always happy to rewrite. I think for me, I'm really excited. We've got some really great lineup of guests. One of the two topics that I've been thinking about and we will want to do at round tables this go around are something talking about job search and recruiting, talking to a recruiter, a legal recruiter about what they're seeing. And then at the same time, talking to somebody who actually does the day-to-day work in terms of tracking systems, other things, just to hear about that process for those of us in our community who are looking for different things. And then the second thing is some focus and discussion about gifts, hospitality, and political campaigns and contributions, because that's a part of things. And especially this year, although at least for my organization, we have a lot more that we're dealing with state by state. And I apologize to our global listeners. This might be a little U.S. focused, but if not now, because I think it's a fascinating thing and applicable. So those are a couple of things I'm excited about, including some of the new guests and others I have in mind. But I would love to hear what the rest of you are thinking. So I'll pass it over to Hema.
Yeah, I can jump in. That's the other beautiful thing about Compliance Week and the conferences we attend is you've got a whole bunch of people that are so inspiring and you want to share and pay forward what you've learned here to our audience. And so a number of the panelists, I think we're going to be inviting on the podcast, number of the audience members, honestly, they know the podcast. You sent the elevator back down, as you said, Lisa, to these people. They've benefited from it and they want to do the same thing. They want to share their wisdom. And so again, back to the confidence point, people that maybe thought they weren't to do a podcast realize that actually they do have something to share here. And because we're here, they're going to take that opportunity. We're going to make sure we make that space for them. So yeah, very excited. Lots to come. What about you, Ellen?
I'm really fascinated by the SEC's, the DOJ's new whistleblower rewards. I think rewards has been a topic that has been bounced around in the field for a long time. And California and New York now also have state reward programs for whistleblowers. And I think we've got to think about that very carefully as a profession about how it's going to impact our programs and how we're going to need to adjust. And for me, I think it is entirely related to retaliation, which I think is the ugly cousin of our ethics and compliance programs that we haven't done a very good job at handling. We're great about talking about speaking up, but not about, well, what happens when you do. So that's a roundtable I'd really like for us to have.
I'd like to be on that roundtable too. That sounds like a particularly good one. What a fabulous week you've had. I know it's not quite over. I'm glad you were able to break out of your session and meet us here in the hallway to record this podcast. And thank you so much to all of our listeners who have joined us yet again. We are Great Women in Compliance, and we are produced by the Compliance Podcast Network and sponsored by Corporate Compliance Insights. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Great Women in Compliance. We hope you'll join us in honoring the great women in the compliance field by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a review.